Welcome to another teaching of Trail Christian Fellowship in Eagle Point, Oregon. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, the Lord says, "Stand in the ways and see, and ask, for the old paths are where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls." We study church history because the truth about God is timeless. The last infallible book of theology was written nearly 2,000 years ago. In theology, if it's new, it's probably not true. The men featured in these studies knew that. Though they are dead, they still speak, because Scripture was their supreme rule of faith. This three-part church history series introduces us to the revolutionaries, Anthony and Benedict, Johannes Gutenberg, and Ignatius Loyola. Join us as our teachers, Pastor Chris White and Pastor Matthew McAuliffe, lead us on an exciting journey through these men's lives. Here now are Chris and Matt.
I have to say that you are truly gluttons for punishment. I love you, man. Oh, well, thank you. Oh, what did I do? There I go. I'm pushing myself all over the place here. There we go. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Don't be afraid, Kathleen. It dropped off my ear. I'm back now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for a place to come to learn these stories, for the opportunity to learn them, for the freedom to discuss things that may be controversial or perhaps we don't understand, for the freedom to look and to learn and to dig for ourselves. But Father, thank you so much for the support you give us. You provide for our needs, you protect us. We're pretty spoiled, Father, and we thank you for all of your gifts, those we perceive and those we do not. Bless our evening tonight. Help me to think of the things that should be said. Help my brothers and sisters remember the things that were supposed to be said. Stimulate our minds and our hearts, Father. We're here because we want you to grow us, and we would ask that your Spirit would allow us to do that. We give you the evening and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys, this could be kind of fun. I originally was not even going to do Ignatius Loyola. Christopher's going to do it. He loves this guy. But I was thinking he had to run off to Regent College up in British Columbia. And so I said, yeah, I can take it. And I got digging in. And he's actually quite a bit more important than I would have thought. He himself is not that dramatic. His early life is very dramatic. But what he creates and what he puts into motion becomes something really powerful. I mean, it pulls the Catholic Church's bacon out of the fire completely after the Reformation, and actually gives us a lot to chew on and look at. So now, has everybody gotten, I have both copies of the outline we'll be going through this evening, and I also, due to the complaints, brought copies of Tuesday night's lecture. So if you want to go back and look at those and transcribe the notes you did take onto an outline there, please feel free. So what we're talking about tonight, Ignatius Loyola, and because it's me, I have to give you a 10 or 15 minute background. I just love to do that. You know, working for Rick Boya has really ruined me. You know how he spends the first half of the sermon reviewing what he taught you the last time? Yeah, okay. But it's fun because if you don't know the story that went before, sometimes it's very difficult to get a real grasp on the story that's happening right now. And so having the story before is a real good way to hit the story that's happening at full steam. So we're going to do that. Now, first off, we're going to look at the early church. Am I too loud right now? Is that about right? Too little loud? Isla May, could you turn me down just a pinch? The early church, we're going to go through. You guys are going to get two semesters of church history here in about 10 minutes. So buckle on. It'll be good. And don't worry too much about the details. Much more important here is kind of the general flow of what's happening here with the worldwide body of Christ as it gets bigger and as it learns how to relate to God and through Jesus. Well, the first thing, as you remember, We were a persecuted minority that became... I know it's an awful picture, but there's others that were even more awful, so I kind of spared you. We went from a persecuted minority to the fully approved imperial religion. And as you can see, the quality of discipleship really went downhill. The first 300 years, it cost a lot to be a Christian. After that, you almost had to be a Christian to buy anything at the store. So that was important. Now, the two guys we have to thank for kind of pulling the discipleship quality up a few notches is who we talked about Tuesday night, Antony, the desert father, who just got disgusted enough to go off and decide, I'm just going to pray until this gets better, and actually began something we call monasticism, which really kept us in good shape for about 1,200 years, and actually has elements that continue to contribute to Christian integrity today. We could use more of some of this stuff. And then Benedict is the guy that in the year 500 came up with that little book called The Rule that several of you asked me about. And it was just a kind of a how-to book on how to establish and maintain a small community of men or women that were focused on Christ. It just how to do that, how to anticipate problems with personalities, what to look for, how to deal with the logistics. It's a brilliant little book. It's really delightful. Well, now the monasteries, once they were done, the monasteries ended up serving a very important purpose in that as the institutional church, you know, institutional churches tend to get a little crusty. And they're like any corporation or organization. So what monasticism did, remember, was it served as the canary in the mine. The monks and the nuns were not priests. They weren't ordained. They weren't theologians, and that led to problems here and there. What they were is very concerned with the experience of God in their lives. That's all they cared about. And so when the flavor and the quality of Christianity in the whole culture kind of started getting sour, and the institutional church kind of started getting off track, it was the monks and the nuns of monasticism that said, whoa, wait a minute, this is wrong. We gotta get back to the Bible. We gotta get back to Christ-likeness. They did this several times in Christian history. We don't have time to go through all of them, but some of the big ones, let's see, the Reformation of Cluny, you guys ever... heard of Bernard of Clairvaux. He was a big guy that did that around the time of the Crusades. St. Francis, gosh, my favorite guy. Oh, wait, did we go to one too far? There he is, St. Francis and Clare. That was about the year 1200. Christianity had reached a crisis here. Things were trending badly. Europe was in bad shape. It was very dangerous. A very unfriendly place to be. It was right smack dab in the middle of the Crusades. You had armed parties of men sweeping back and forth through the country all the time. If they didn't like the looks of you, they could carve you up pretty easily. Francis, by re-embracing the love of Christ and simply imitating Christ's behavior every opportunity he had, I don't know what to tell you guys. We don't have time. He changed the face of Christianity in Europe. I think by the end of his life, there were like 5,000 Franciscan monks. Within 10 years of his death, there were 100,000. Within 30 years of his death, there were over 1 million. If I had a map here that showed Franciscan monasteries, I mean, it's like a bad virus. It just, whoa! It just, because people had never experienced anything like this. This was as if Jesus were walking around. I mean, it made a huge impact because they were used to a church like this. Basically, the Crusades did some important things. The Crusades could have been a mistake and some bad things happened, and yet, what are you going to do when Islam is threatening to take over Europe? I mean, you need to react to some degree or another. It's a pretty complex study. It's one we're going to look at in a lot more depth in our medieval class this fall. But the Crusades did bring about some unintended changes. What they did was they awakened Europe to a whole new world. They kind of stimulated the birth of a global economy. Believe it or not, money started showing up for the first time. Up until that point, nobody really had money. I mean, gold coins. Only kings did that. You know, if you were a peasant, you know, you're like us working people, you know, I'll trade you a sheep for, you know, a sack of grain, whatever. That's how you got along. But about this time, enough gold began circulating as a result of the Crusades that money started showing up. The middle class started showing up. Market, shop owners, merchants would have a little bag in the back. It was just a brand new thing. People really didn't know what to make of it. But one of the bad things that happened is if the monastic part of the church reacted to this well and reformed and looked for ways to be more like Christ, the institutional part of the church just kept sailing right on down the road. And it got worse and worse and worse. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that it entered the 14th century, the 1300s. I like to say in class that if you ever, for some reason, have the opportunity to climb into a time machine, and the pilot, you look over and you can see him fiddling with the dashboard, and he sets the destination time for anything that begins with 1300, hit him as hard as you can, crack the windshield open, get out and run screaming for the horizon. You don't want to go to the 1300s under any shape or form. Basically, you have Europe laid waste by the Hundred Years' War. That's actually began with William Wallace. He's one of the first guys there. That's not actually William Wallace. Did you know that? But yeah, the whole Braveheart thing was just kind of like an opening act in the Hundred Years' War, and it really did. For 100 years, armies just up and down Europe, slaughter, maiming. Oh, you can't imagine how bad it was. Until 1347, when it got worse, and the bubonic plague struck in Italy. And it moved, if you were to look at a map, the Black Death moved about 3 to 4 miles a day, deeper and deeper into Europe. So you could run, you could escape. But you know, if you're living in like Berlin or Paris or old England, and you're hearing about this, and it's coming closer every day, what are you thinking? It just, what a nightmare. I mean, the kids still today sing, you know, Ring Around the Rosie, Pockets Full of Posy, Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down. That's all about the burial of the dead from the Black Death. I mean, that's deep inside, you guys. And if that weren't enough, we also have the political shenanigans of the papacy, where two competing popes, one pope, one anti-pope, and at one point even a third, so three popes duking it out. The church is a laughingstock. I mean, cardinals are hiding their hats in the street because they're ashamed to be associated with the church. It's that bad. There's no moral authority left whatsoever. So the institutional church in the 1300s, it's getting to be about as bad as it can be. The 1400s eases off a little bit just because there's not as many people around to worry about. But it's just a real bad time. Well, as a matter of fact, this is where pre-Reformation protests begin to pick up steam, because standing right next to that huge stack of bodies burning is a guy named John Wycliffe. And he's saying, you know what? We need to maybe listen to God. And I think it would be a good idea if we could read God's word in our own language. Dumb idea. But he did it anyway. And as a result, we have their first English Bible. Very shortly after that, a Hungarian guy, a Czechoslovakian actually, a guy named Jan Hus, got very excited about Wycliffe's ideas and began agitating for reform in Czechoslovakia, where, as you can see, the church fathers did not appreciate his input. But he was a hero. And actually, I don't know, have you guys heard of the Moravians? You ever the Moravian Church? Awesome group of Christians. They were the first ones to send missionaries. They were the first ones to go preach to the Native Americans. They became slaves so they could preach in the Caribbean islands. These guys are... They are actually the ones who were in the boat with John Wesley when he was sailing to Georgia to become governor's assistant or chaplain or something, and the storm came, and John Wesley is soiling his diapers. He's just screaming. And there's just a bunch of Moravians over there singing hymns and talking and clapping. That's cool, life, death, yeah, whatever. It just affected him so deeply, he ended up learning from them. He ended up engaging them as his mentors and came back to England and found another Moravian to do that with. So if you get a chance to study the Moravians, they are very cool. They're around today, but they've affected really everybody else's denomination, and so they're mostly alive just in the flavor of Christianity that they've given to everybody else. But they're a wonderful story. Let's see, where'd we go? Oh, of course, as Christopher dealt with last night, the next really interesting thing that happened before the Reformation. You have Wycliffe and Huss and a bunch of other guys are pressing for reform. They know things are bad. But then when Gutenberg comes up with a press, it really sets up a powder keg situation. I mean, you've got a lot of discontent. Now you have the printing press. And also at this time, I didn't even put it on the notes, Greek texts are flooding into the Western world, primarily because the Muslims have just taken over Constantinople, or Istanbul as it's called today. 1453 is when Istanbul falls, and all the scholars just come screaming out of there and find shelter in Italy. So a lot of Greek texts, a lot of new Bible manuscripts. So scholarship starts picking up steam too. It's almost as if everything were being directed by the hand of some unseen... It's just a coincidence, I'm sure. Well, let's see. Actually, Gutenberg, I love what Christopher said, that Europe enters the original information age, care of Gutenberg, because that's exactly right. This was easily as big as the change that we have witnessed with digital technology. Easily. Perhaps even bigger. Just the amount of information, the number of Bibles available. And as he told you, most of it was Luther's stuff there for the first few years. Now, the church, which is still just embracing dumbness, the Catholic Church, and at this point, we will begin to make the distinction between when I say the church, I'll usually be talking about the body of Christ worldwide. I'm going to have to be careful and start distinguishing now the Catholic Church, because this is where it splits off in the Reformation. You have the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. Now, Christians are still in both. I mean, to this day, just telling them apart sometimes can be a little adventurous. But the church, the institutional Catholic Church, is very, very slow to change. It doesn't even want to recognize that there's a problem. Yes, it's mad at Martin Luther, that dumb monk, he shouldn't say this, but they're still like three steps back. I mean, it's really an ostrich situation. Because look what happens here. Basically, well, you got Martin Luther. Oh, gracious, what a madman. Not only, okay, he posts his protests, his 95 Theses, 1517. In 1520, he burns the Pope's letter excommunicating him. In 1527, he publishes a New Testament in German, an incredible, fabulous, it just dropped everybody's jaws. It was so much better than the Latin Vulgate we'd been using for 1,000 years. The quality, because he went back to some of the newly discovered old manuscripts, and he did it in it's like 49 days or something like this by himself. I know, it's bizarro. So anyway, he did that. Now this is all within about 10 years, and it goes on, the Augsburg Confession. Did you guys see the movie Martin Luther? Do you remember that? Remember when the electors, the governors, all came before the emperor, and they bowed there? He said, if you don't change your mind, I'm gonna cut your heads off. And they all bowed before him and said, go to it. We're not changing. That was the Augsburg Confession. It was huge. And basically, it kissed the Holy Roman Empire goodbye. It hung out for another couple centuries, but it was never the power that it used to be. Well, then in 1534, just a couple years later, Henry VIII breaks completely with the Roman Catholic Church, sets up his own church. And not too long after that, 1536, a young Frenchman named John Calvin publishes the Institutes of the Christian Religion, which pretty much is a blueprint for the Protestant Reformation, theologically speaking. Guys, take a look on your outline here. From 1517 to 1536, that's about five or six major death-dealing body blows in 19 years. And the Catholic Church is still wondering, there's a problem? There's a problem? They're not getting it. Some of the cardinals, some of the bishops are telling the Pope, buddy, you need to do something. Things are really headed south. Why don't we call a council and figure out how to respond to this? Well, okay, that's a good idea in theory, but why would popes not want to call a council? Any ideas? Yes, that's one. They're not him. He might have to look at reality. Oh, no. Well, and that's exactly right. Popes don't like councils because councils have a tendency to actually come up with recommendations. Like, maybe you should let go of a little bit of power. You know, maybe you should do some reforms and not appoint your idiot brother-in-law, the Cardinal of Berlin. That might be a good idea. He doesn't want to hear that. And so it takes many years for the Pope to finally realize, wow, we're going to lose the whole shebang if I don't do something. So they call the Council of Trent. And we like to avoid councils and treaties and stuff like that when we teach history because, you know, remember high school history? Treaty of Mecklenburg? I don't know. You know, but the Council of Trent is an interesting one. It's one of the handful of interesting ones because it's sort of a spasm that the Roman Catholic Church goes through. It finally, after all those body blows in such a short period of time, it finally calls a council hoping it can, like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. Oh, it's too late, dude. The dike is gone down there and it's gone down there. You've got a little piece left here. So there is no dike. It doesn't matter. This is too little, too late. To their credit, the guys that did attend this, and they called it, and then they called it off, and then they called it and called it off. It went on for about 18 years. Was attended by hundreds of bishops. A lot of good things got discussed, and many good things came out of this. They did actually fix most of the really stupid things they were doing. You know, appointing their relatives to high positions. You know, appointing the 10-year-old to be the bishop of Milan or something like that. They ended simony where you could buy your office. They became very careful about that. They didn't sell indulgences anymore. That was the one, remember, that Martin Luther hated so much. So most of that, the surface offenses that had gotten everyone so angry, they took care of. They sort of dealt with those. And a couple other minor reforms. But in terms of their theology, instead of re-examining how far they had come from the Bible, they just kind of clamped the door. Nope, it's whatever we say it is. They insisted that the church's tradition of interpretation was equally authoritative with the Bible. And you can imagine how far that got with Martin Luther and John Calvin and John Knox and the boys. They didn't like that. So the split was permanent. However, some other interesting things came out, among them the founding of the Jesuits, and we're going to look at that. But before we do, I'm going to turn the page. Before we get out of the background, I just want to explain a tiny amount of what's going on in Spain right now. Because Spain, this is an important period of time for Spain, and throughout the Reformation, Spain is a big player. So a couple things going on. One, you guys might remember from history, when the Muslims came pouring across North Africa in about 700, the early 700s, they finally swept up right across the tip there, across Gibraltar and up in through Spain, up into France, and finally got stopped in 732 by Charlemagne's grandpa. Charles Martel, they called him the Hammer. Don't hurt him, Hammer. Oh, okay, go ahead and hurt him. Yep, it'll do him good. He stopped them. Otherwise, it's very possible you and I would be speaking Arabic today, that this would be a minaret, and that we would be called to morning prayers by our muezzin. It's very possible. But Charles Martel did stop the Muslim army, chased him back down. However, the Muslims stayed for a long time here in Spain. As a matter of fact, they allowed the Christians and the Jews to work and live there. They taxed them very heavily, and they treated them with all the fairness and respect that Southerners used to treat black people back in the post-Civil War days. It's called dimitude. They were people of the book. They were people of God's word, so they weren't killed. They were allowed to practice their religion, but they were like fourth-class citizens. So when you hear the stories about the wonderful society of harmony that existed in, you know, Andalusian Spain, take a few grains of salt just to ease your digestion on that. That's not quite it. So anyway, big parts of Spain are still under Muslim control, and a young couple called Ferdinand and Isabella, you may have heard of them. Ferdinand, he was the king over here of Aragon. And Isabella was the queen of a much larger territory in the middle called Castile. And they got married as kids, and they actually liked each other. They were pretty good Christian, Catholic Christian kids. And they really took the bit between their teeth and decided, you know what, I think God wants us to make Spain strong again and unite it. So they embarked on what is known as the Reconquista, the reconquering. And by golly, they started to push the Muslims out. Let's see here. The last great stronghold is down in the lower right-hand corner of Spain. It's Granada. It was the last great Muslim outpost. And in 1492, they finally accepted the surrender of the Sultan and basically had Spain all themselves. 1492, what else did Ferdinand and Isabella do? It's not important. I'll think of it later. Now, part of this reconquering thing was another little tool you may have heard of called the Inquisition. Now, it started actually earlier because there were so many heresies after the days of the Crusades. It was the Office of the Inquiry. That's all it was meant to be. Spain did actually take it a notch above. You remember Tomás Torquemada, that name? Ring any bells? He was a church guy put in charge of the Spanish Inquisition. He really took his job seriously. Gosh, it's a fascinating study. We don't have time to go into it now. All I can tell you is the job, they didn't really go after Protestants. There really weren't any Protestants in Spain. Just weren't any. Never really caught on there. Who they were interested in are the Muslims and the Jews who had supposedly converted to Christianity, but were still secretly practicing their old religion. Because when they did the Reconquista, they wanted, hey, you guys, you may convert to Christianity and stay, or you can bug out. But we don't want Jewishness here. We don't want Islam here. So they kicked them out. Now, the ones that stayed, and some were phony and some were real. So I don't know. The problem is the Spanish Inquisition was what we call demonized because at this time, I think Christopher mentioned this last night, remember John Knox's Book of Martyrs, the Protestants are being tortured over in France and in England. Not that Protestants didn't torture Catholics whenever they got a chance, but that's another story. But anyway, so the Spanish Inquisition was getting terrible press. Spain was getting terrible press. And it continues to this day. I mean, the Monty Python thing, I can't. Oh, gosh. Nothing is so surprising as the Spanish Inquisition. It's just, I should have got that DVD and brought it in for you, but no. The Spanish Inquisition actually, in spite of its terrible reputation, really did not execute in those 20, 30 years more than about 800 people. Now we say, whoa, that seems like a lot. On the day of St. Bartholomew's Day massacre in Paris, 10,000 were killed within a few hours, 10,000 Protestants. So 800, in all honesty, is not a big number. Not only that, all of these, the torture racks, the Inquisition, the horror nightmare images that we have of the Spanish Inquisition, this is standard operating procedure throughout Europe. Even my hero, Queen Elizabeth, probably one of the most able, enlightened, and humane rulers in Europe throughout several centuries, she did this stuff all the time. It's just what you did. I mean, it's just, we live in an age where we've been sensitized, you know, Guantanamo, oh no! Okay, if you roll the tape back a few years, you know, we are not too far away. Now, this is Galileo in the lower corner here being faced by the Inquisition. Poor old Galileo. Now, you know that story is loaded with hooey, I hope. There's much more to that than meets the eye. But no, he was not the heroic scientist being unfairly blackballed by the evil inquisitors. His evidence was poor. He betrayed the Pope. He did a lot of things that were, I mean, they had every right to put him in, house arrest, I think. He didn't go to the dungeon. He was ordered back to his chateau to stay, and they sent him a stipend every month. I'd give my left leg for somebody to do that to me. I keep hoping, but nothing happens. Anyway, the actual procedure is going on up here. What they would normally do, they would drag you out and humiliate you, and they would pressure you to confess, and they would pressure you to confess someone else's sins too. And that was really the unfair part of the Inquisition. You didn't know who had accused you. You had no chance to face your accuser. You had no idea. And you had no right or ability to answer a lot of the evidence because you didn't know what it was. And that's one of the reasons they were so careful in the Bill of Rights here in the United States to say, yes, you must, if somebody's going to accuse you, they got to have the guts to stand up in court and say so. That was very deep in their mind. So that was a good thing. So when you hear the Spanish Inquisition, yes, it was awful. It was bad, but it was the same as was going on every place else. It wasn't quite as bad as we've heard. And the last thing that's going on in Spain, the Reconquista, the Inquisition, plus the acquisition of huge amounts of gold. You can't even think of all the gold that these guys are bringing home. As a matter of fact, the English pirates, St. Francis and those guys, stole about a third of it, and they never even noticed. There's so much going through, and I know, I don't want to be politically incorrect. I mean, it was awful what they did. Cortez, he was a scumbag. He really was. Pizarro was not much better. Frankly, I think the Aztecs and the conquistadors probably deserved each other. That was just bad meets bad, you know, and who's got the biggest stick? The Aztecs were really terrible. I mean, you remember the million skulls that they built the pyramid out of, you know, the cut the heart out sacrifices. That stuff happened all the time. When they got down to the Incas, Pizarro got down to take over the Incas, the beautiful, wonderful Incas, who had just finished ethnic cleansing of the northern province of their neighbors. It just killed hundreds of thousands of people. So these societies, as you hear, please be aware that yes, the conquistadors, they were scumbags, but the people they were beaten up on were very often scumbags too. I mean, it's almost like everybody were sinners or something. It's just one of those things. So anyway, from the New World, we have this huge amount of gold coming back, and much of it is feeding the growth of England as well, but it turns Spain at this time in the mid-1500s into just a colossus, just a powerhouse. They do whatever they want. They go wherever they want. Their navy goes wherever it wants. As a matter of fact, this state of affairs lasts until 1588, at which time they have a little trouble with their armada. Have you seen Elizabeth the Golden Age? Oh, you guys should rent that. That's a pretty good movie. They attack England and are wiped out. And they never gain their strength back. As a matter of fact, King Philip actually bankrupted Spain building this huge armada to send against England. And I don't want to get into the story because it's so involved, but it is fun. Well, all of that, now we've set the stage. I lied, it was longer. It was about 30 minutes rather than 10. But now, when we talk about Ignatius Loyola, you kind of have an idea of the society he's a part of. They really think that they've got everything in one rucksack. They really think they've got it together. And they are powerful, and they pretty much do what they want. They're very concerned with themselves. And Ignatius was no different. He was the youngest. He was born in a Basque family, a very wealthy Basque family, and he was the youngest of 13 children. This actually implies several things. One, he got beat up a lot. nothing changes too much. The other is, as the way things go, you remember, like, the oldest son would step into dad's position as the viceroy or the count or, you know, whatever position that the father had. The second son might take a position at the court of the king. The third son might be given preference as a cardinal, you know, if you were a powerful European family. You remember how that goes. And so on down to number 13.
Well, Iggy, we have a set of clothes for you and a ticket to Disneyland, and we hope you'll have fun.
It did not have a lot for Ignatius. So what he attached himself to the court, I think he worked for the treasurer, his uncle or something, and he turned himself into something of a playboy and a duelist, just trying to make a name for himself. A lot of womanizing problems, a lot of cuts and scars and a lot of dead guys. That was just kind of how it went. That was, you know, the macho Latin pride. This was it in a nutshell. But when he was 30 years old, he actually did end up in the army, and in the town of Pamplona, where they run the bulls, you remember that? The French were attacking Pamplona in 1521. Yes, that sounds right. And he was leading his group of guys, as doing a good job. He was a good soldier. His legs were mangled by a cannonball. And so he's out there bleeding away, and they fixed him up, and the French overcame. They took his guys got disheartened, and they surrendered to the French. The French were so impressed with how he had fought and maneuvered his troops, they actually volunteered and carried him 100 miles to his castle. They just were really, they thought, wow, this guy's good. Okay, bud, we'll take you home. No worries. So he got home and convalesced. I should mention that they didn't do a good job of fixing his leg. It hurt both legs, but I think the left one was the one that got tore up. When they tried to set it, they left a piece of bone sticking out of the skin. So when he got home, the family physician sawed it off. And then that didn't work, and so they had to re-break it. And then they had to reset it again and keep pulling and tugging on it. No anesthesia in these days. Well, so Ignatius is not a stranger to pain. He's a pretty tough little guy. He's a tough cookie, and he's able to do it. So he's there. It takes him a long time to get well. He's healing for a long time, and what he asks to read, there's nothing else to do. He's in his family castle at Loyola. There's nothing else to do. He says, well, you know what? Would you guys just run down to the drugstore and get me a bunch of those Harlequin romances? I'm dead serious. He loved that stuff. That's what he wanted to read. He wanted just a bunch of trashy pulp novels about romance and, you know, fighting and everything. And they said, we don't have anything like that, bud. Oh, you will look around. All we have, oh gosh, here's this old dumb book about the lives of the saints. And oh, here's one about Jesus. It's the best we can do. So he said, fine, I'll read these. And he does. And he reads them over and over. And he comes to grapple with himself because he realizes that as he's reading these, he experiences a deep sense of peace. And when he puts them down and starts just kind of thinking and fantasizing about his life back at court and his girlfriend and everything, he's really agitated and upset and uncomfortable. And then he reads these again and he's really got that peace. And he starts to put two and two together. And he starts to say, you know what? I've been going in the wrong direction. I need to go in a different direction. So he finally heals up. It takes 6-8 months before he can even get out of bed. And he goes, he skirts his way, goes a little southwest towards the Mediterranean coast near Barcelona to a town called Manresa. And there he enters the sanctuary, the church there at Montserrat Manresa, and gives up his dagger and his sword on the altar. He takes off his fine fancy clothes, a lot like the story of Francis, and he gives them to a beggar outside the church and exchanges his fine clothes for the beggar's cloak. And he goes and finds himself a cave near Manresa, and he spends the next year in there just thinking. This has not got him in the cave. That probably wouldn't have been as fun a picture. He probably came out of the cave once in a while. But he's thinking, and during this year of praying and fasting, and he's thinking about the saints that he read about, because it was like Antony and Francis and all those guys. He's thinking about the saints, and he's still pretty competitive. I mean, it's just, you don't give that up right away. So he says, you know, I could probably fast longer than Antony. I could probably embrace more lepers than Francis. And this is kind of the way he's thinking, and he's playing with the ideas that will eventually become the work that he is a classic that he's known so well for, spiritual exercises. You heard us talk about those a little bit yesterday, and Jules was asking about them. Very interesting book. I'll talk a little bit more about it here in a bit. But he's playing with these ideas, organizing them in his mind, and more he becomes convinced that he needs God to speak to him. He needs direction from the Lord. He finally gets well enough so that he climbs onto a ship, and you know, his family still has money, buys his way to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem, and his idea is that I'm just going to subsist as a beggar in Jerusalem. It would be better to be a beggar in Jerusalem than the finest courtier in the Spanish royal court. So that's what I'm going to do. Well, he goes, and you know, you remember in the 1500s, well, Jerusalem is never what we call a peaceful town. But in the 1500s, it's just a lot of conflict. You know, still a lot of repercussions and ripples from the Crusades. And plus, it is dirt poor. I mean, if you're a beggar in Jerusalem, you're getting a meal every 4 or 5 days, whether you need it or not. You know, it's that poor. It's not a friendly place. If you're a beggar in Ashland, you can haul down. I'm not even going to go there. If you're a beggar in Jerusalem, you're a real beggar. I mean, you are dirt poor. You're eating beetles. And he really decided, wow, you know, this, I can do this, but I'm not getting anywhere spiritually. So he comes home, and he does have a certain amount of vision on the way home. He feels that God is telling him, go back to school. You know, you're brave, you're tough, but you know nothing. I can't use you. You know, your skills in sword fighting and womanizing, I don't do that a lot. I need you to learn new skills. So he does. He goes back to school. As a matter of fact, this is one of the really interesting things about Loyola, is you can really see humility beginning to work in him, because he does not know Latin. Every schoolboy knows Latin. As a matter of fact, it's so common that they don't even teach it past the sixth grade. So where does he have to go to learn Latin? That's exactly where he goes. For 4 years, he's sitting with the little nublets. It's the only place he can learn Latin. So he has to deal with himself. He has to really get a hold of himself and say, look, I really feel like a fool, but I've got to get this Latin thing down. I can feel God saying it. And then he would go to night school too. And for 4 years, he attends several schools in the area. Finally, he ends up at Paris University. I love that gargoyle. That is just too cool for words. He ends up at Paris University. He stays there for 7 years, studying advanced theology and all this stuff, Latin languages. He meets a bunch of other guys that feel the same way he does. And they actually form not an official club, but they hang out together. They don't do the partying that most of the students at the University of Paris are famous for. That shouldn't surprise you. Well, towards the end of his course of study, he suggests to the guys, you know what we need to do is take a vow to serve God in chastity and in poverty. And they're totally for it. Right on, dude. Let's do it. Well, they do. They go to the church and they ask the blessing of the bishop there. They take a vow, and it's witnessed, of chastity and poverty and to serve the Lord. Well, they didn't really have a plan. So they kind of spread out after work or after school, after they'd gotten their degrees. And a couple guys, you know, went into France to try and work. A couple guys actually went back to try to do see if they could do the Jerusalem thing again. I think Ignatius and his buddy Xavier went to Rome. There were several things, but nothing was panning out. Nothing was working. They did this for a couple years. Finally, Ignatius has a real vision, And God, he feels God is telling him, you need to just go to the Pope and put yourself at his behest, whatever he wants you to do. And that's what he does. He goes to Paul III, and he says, you know, Holiness, we don't even really know what we're offering, but whatever you say to do, that's what we will do. And so the Pope says, well, I can use a bunch of guys like that. You know, 10 PhDs that'll do anything I tell them? Yeah, let me pray about that. But Paul III gives him the go-ahead, doesn't even give him a lot of direction immediately, just says, yeah, go ahead. I've got a couple rooms in the back of the pontificate there. Why don't you guys move in, you know, do a little office, you know, move around, think of some suggestions, come talk to me every once in a while, we'll see what's going on. Well, actually, I didn't even hardly wait for this order before some of the guys were already sailing to China to establish missions there. These guys, they really took the bit in their teeth. And as we talk about the Jesuits, it's going to be interesting. But let's finish up here. Basically, what we have, this is 1540. So basically, all those huge Protestant body blows have fallen. That might be one reason the Pope is saying yes, too. Anything new, yeah, try it. Let's see what happens. But 1540, it's also about 5 years until the Council of Trent is called. So it's right in that very important time between the kind of the Catholic reaction and the initiating of the Reformation. So 1540, Ignatius Loyola is appointed. He spends about the next 15, 16 years till his death being just the head administrator. And again, this is not very dramatic. You know, he ended up being an administrator. Whoopee. But in order to get there, and in order to accomplish what he did, he really had to traverse a rather dramatic pathway. And if the next 16 years of his life aren't that dramatic, the organization that he founded was pretty dramatic. It got quite a few interesting things done. Well, he's not just administrating. Let's see, in 15 years, I think they had 1,000 Jesuits. In 100 years, they had 15,000 Jesuits. So it was obviously a going concern. He also, number two there, he completes the work. He polishes up his work on the spiritual exercise. That actually ends up getting published and circulated. People are liking it. All the guys that work for him say, oh, yeah, we want a copy of that. Let's be having that. As a matter of fact, if you guys would like to, you can probably Google this online. I found several sites that offered kind of an in-depth look at what the spiritual exercises was about. I'm sure, I think there are 370 of them. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's accessible if you Google this.
There is a Protestant evangelical minister
who mm-hmm.
has done sort of a modern take on it, and that's the one I meant. His name is Alex Aranis, A-R-O-N-I-S.
Okay. You know, as celebrated a Protestant as J.I. Packer says, this is a real classic. He looks through it. He thinks it's worthy for us to check out, Protestant or Catholic. In a nutshell, what it is, it is a program for a four-week silent retreat. And it doesn't even mean like an actual literal week. It's more like an interval or a stage. You know, you focus on this for a while, then you focus on this for a week or a while, whatever. And they go through, it's about 370 separate exercises. They do prayer, visualization, self-examination. And it highlights, first, last, and always, complete surrender to God. You know, you read some of those medieval devotionals, they're a little scary, you guys. There's not a lot of room left for us as, you know, individual American individualists. These guys were concerned with surrendering their hearts and bodies to Christ. And, you know, reading that sort of thing, I don't think it can hurt you. I gotta say, though, it endorsed the principle of prinde ac cadaver, which means that you should be well-disciplined, like a corpse. Corpse doesn't backsass very much, you know. He's easy to get along with. As well as ad majorem Dei gloriam, which is whenever, you know, they emphasize the Jesuits, whenever you reached a point where you had to make an important decision, You don't worry about what it's going to do to you. Which decision will bring the most glory to God? This one? Well, this would be more comfortable, but you know, this one actually bring more glory to God. Okay, just go in there. It was unbelievable degree of self-abnegation. It was almost as if you personally did not exist. But what it did, it really unleashed the Jesuits to accomplish amazing things. I mean amazing things. Well, we'll get to that. All I'm going to say is it is a classic. It is valued by Catholic and Protestant alike. And poor old Ignatius just ends up dying in Rome. Pray about that. Yeah, let me pray about that. Third gives him, but Paul, go ahead, gives him the direction immediately. Let me give him a lot of direction. Yeah, go ahead. He just says, I've got a wench in the back, a couple rooms, the back of the, why don't you guys move pontificate there, do a little office, move in, you know, move around, you know, move suggestions, think of some once in a while, we'll see, come talk to me. Well, what's going on? Hardly wait for that. Actually, I didn't even hear some of the guys this order before going to China. We're already safe, established mission. Two ones there. Missions, they really, these guys in their teeth really took the bit and talk about the Jesuits as we talk. Interesting, but let's, it's going to be finish up here. Let's finish what we have. Basically, 15, this is 1540. Basically, all the so Protestant body blows huge fallen. Blows have reason the Pope. That might be one too. Any was saying yes. Try it. Let's see thing new. Yeah. See what happens. 1540, but 5 years until it's also about Trent is called the Council of Trent in that. So it's right important, very between time. Catholic reaction, the kind of the initiation and of the Reformation, the initiating. Oh, 1540. So Loyola's appointed 40. Ignatius is about the next minute. He spends 15 years till his 1560 death, being just the administrator, the head. This is not, and again, this is very dramatic. This is not about being an administrator. You know, he ended up being an administrator. Well, but in order to get there, accomplish what he had to, he really, rather dramatic, traverse a pathway, 16 years, and if the next aren't that of his life, that dramatic that the organization was that he founded, it got quite pretty dramatic and things done. Quite a few interesting. He's not just a, administrating years. I think they, in 15 Jesuits, had 1,000 years. They had, in 100,000 Jesuits, 15,000. So it was obvious. So CERN, a going concern. So number two, he also completes the work. He completes work on the spirit, polishes up his, that actually actual exercise published. He ends up getting percolated. People and certain guys that work for are liking it. All the guys, we want a copy of that. For him, say, oh yeah, let's be having that. Matter of fact, if you got that, as you can probably Google, guys would like to, and I found several of this online, several sites, kind of an that offer at what the in-depth look sizes was about, spiritual exercise, I'm sure 370, I think there are 70 of them myself. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's accessible. You Google this. Mm-hmm.
There is a Protestant evangelist.
Okay. You know, as celebrated as J.I. Packer, Protestant as Jesus is a real class, says this, he looks through it, he's like, for us to check out, thinks it's worthy, Catholic, out Protestant, or as in a, it is, in a nutshell, what it is a program 4 weeks for a treat. And silent retreat. It doesn't even mean like an, by, it doesn't week, actual literal, it's more like interval or a stage, you age for a while, then focus on this for a week, or you focus on this, whatever, for a while. So it's about 300, and they go through separate exercises, 177, because they do prayer, self-visualization, examination, and it first highlights, always, last and surrender to God completes. You read some of those, devotionals, medieval, scary. You calls there a little room left for. There's not a lot of room. You know, us as individual and individualist American. These guys were there's surrendering their heart, concerned with Christ and bodies, and that sort of thing. You know, hurt can hurt you. I don't think I gotta say though. The principle of endorsed the act of putting. Which should be well means that you corpse disciplined like a corpse doesn't bat much, you know, he's excess very much along with it's easy to get as well as Dorum des ad major which is
Gloriam.
You know, they, whenever Jesuits, whenever emphasize the point where you had to make, whenever you reached a decision, an important decision, worry about you don't, you, you, what it's going to do to you. Which decision, well, let's see, glory to God. We'll bring the most glory. Well, this will be this one, but you know, this one more comfortable, but bring more glory to God. Actually, just go in there. Okay. It was, it there. It unbelievable was of simple degree, negation, self-abnegation. As if you, it was almost not exist, personally did, but what it did is unleash the, it really accomplished Jesuits to accomplish things. Amazing things. I mean amazing. I'll get to that. It is a class, I'm going to say, is by Catholic. It is value like and Protestant. And poor old, just ends up, poor old nation Rome, dying and
pray about that.
Let me pray. Third gives him, let me pray about that. Go ahead, doesn't he? But Paul, the direction immediately gives him the, yeah, go ahead. Let me give him a lot of dream. I've got to leave, just says in the back, why don't you, the, a couple room, why don't you guys move of the, do a little office, pontificate there, move around, move in, you know, do suggestions, you know, move once in a while, we'll see, think of some. Well, come talk to me. I hardly wait for what's going on. For some of the guys, actually, didn't even hurl into China's order before established missions were already Satan's there. To his, they really mission in their teeth. These guys and really took the bit about the Jesuits. Interesting. But let's, as we talk, finish up here, it's going to be what we have. Let's finish 15, basically, what, this is basically all the 40 Protestant body so fallen. Those huge problem reason the Pope blows have too. Any that might be one. Try it. Let's be saying yes. Anything new? Yeah. 1540. See what happens. 5 years until. But Trent is called. It's also about in that the Council of Trent, important. So it's right between very Catholic reaction time and the kind of the kind of the Reformation. And so 15. The initiating Loyola's appointment. So it's about the next 40 Ignatius years till he's appointed. He spends 15-6 to death. Administrator being just the head. This is not very dramatic. And again, this up being an administrator, this is not B. You know, he ended up, but in order we'll get there, and in order to get did, and he had to accomplish what he rather dramatic. He really traverse a 16-year pathway. Aren't that? And if the next years of his life that dramatic that. Was the organization it got quite he founded and things done pretty dramatic. He's not just quite a few interesting. Let's see. Well, in years I think they administrating Jesuits in 1500 years they had 1,000 Jesuits in 100. It was obviously 15,000 CERN. So number two, a going completes the work. He also work on the spirit there. He completes that actually polishes up his published actual exercise circulated. People ends up getting guys that work for. And sir, we want a copy of that. People are liking all the guys. Let's be having them say, oh yeah. Matter of fact, if you got that, you can probably Google that. As a matter of fact, I found several guys would like to pull this online, kind of an oral sites at what the spirit offer sizes was about. In-depth look, sure, spiritual exercise, 300 and south. I'm sure, I think they're myself, 70 of them possible. If you, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's accessible. Mm-hmm. You Google this.
There is mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, as celebrated a J.I. Packer, as is a real class Protestant, as he looks through it, he says this for us to check out. Catholic thinks it's worthy, as in and out Protestant, it is. It is a nutshell what I'm 4 weeks program treat. And for a, even mean like a silent retreat week, having with the rulers around the entire globe, in all the cultures. This is why they sort of tended to get a reputation for being the Pope's CIA. You know, yes and no. They didn't, I mean, they weren't assassinating people and stuff like that. They, spiritually, they've got a pretty good record. They've got a pretty clean record. But were they aware of political infighting? Were they aware of intrigue and what was going on to who and who did it, when, where? Oh, yeah. Oh, and they told the Pope everything. So for a while, the Pope has got the best intelligence service in the planet. He knows more about what's going on everywhere than anybody else does. But again, this leads to problems. Oh, before we leave, I have to show you this one thing. You see this tombstone? It says Dom for God, and then it lists Friar Peter and a number of other important Jesuit people. This is located in the sacred cemetery of the Forbidden City in Beijing. They don't know quite what to do with it. They can't dig it up because it's sacred. They can't show it to Europeans. They don't know what to do with it. So this photo got snuck somehow. But there are several of these old Jesuit tombstones in the sacred cemetery of the Forbidden City. And it'll be interesting as we watch the Olympics, it'll be interesting to see if something pops up as a result of this, you know? Just go, what's going on? Well, anyway, God bless them. These guys got out there and they did it. Now, remember something. This is 150 years before even the Moravians accomplish really amazing things. Jesuits to accusing things. Amazing. Well, I mean amazing. It is a class. Get to that. By Catholic, I'm going to say is like. It is valued. And Protestant. This just ends up in poor old Rome. Poor old nation. Say about that. Dying in. Yeah, third gives him, yeah, let me pray. Go ahead, doesn't even pray about that. Correction immediately. But Paul, yeah, go ahead, gives him the good. I've got to give him a lot of rooms in the back. He just says, why don't you guys move a couple rooms to a little office. Of the move around pontificate there. Suggestions come in, you know, do once in a while, we'll see what's, you know, move. Well, think of some, hardly wait for them. Come talk to me or some of the guys, what's going on? To China. Actually, I didn't even establish mission. This order before there. So we're already saying they really, to it in their teachings, mission, and these guys talk about the Jesuits really took the bit interesting. But let's finish up here as we talk. What we have, which it's going to be 15. Let's finish. Basically, all the, this is Protestant body being 40 fallen. So, been reason the Pope those huge pro to any blows have try it. Let's that might be one. Was saying yes. 1540, anything new, yeah, 5 years until, see what happens. Trent is called. But in that, it's also about important to the Council of between, so it's right Catholic reaction, very in the in time of the Reformation, the kind of the, so 1540, and Loyola's appointment, the initiating, is about the next one. So 15 years till he's 40, Ignatius, minute he spends a 1560 administrator, death, being just, this is not the head, very dramatic, up being an administrator, and again, this is not, but in order, you know, he ended up there, straighter, and in order to, did, in order to get, he had to, rather dramatic, accomplish what he really, 16 years, a traverse aren't that pathway, and if the next of his life, that dramatic was, it got quite, the organization things done, that he founded, he's not just a, pretty dramatic, let's see, quite a few interesting years, I think they, well, in Jesuits administrating 100 years, they had in 15,000 Jesuits, had 1,000. So it was obvious in a concern, 15,000. So, number two, so it's the work. He probably a going can work on the spirit. He also is that actually there. He completely published, polishes up his circulated, people exercise, guys that work for him, ends up getting. We want a copy of that. And sir, let's be having that. People are liking it. All the matter of fact, if you got him, say, oh yeah, you can probably Google that. And I found several of that. As a matter the guys would like to kind of enable this online at what the spiritual sites sizes was about that offer sure in-depth look or 300 and spiritual exercise out. I'm sure myself. I think they're accessible. If you have any of them, oh, I'm getting ahead of them. Mm-hmm. But it's accessible.
There is,
Google this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, as celebrated a Packer. This is a real class. As he looks through it, he's Protestant as for us to check out. Says this Catholic sick. As in and thinks it's worthy. It is. It out Protestant. It is a nutshell. What 4 weeks treat and program doesn't even mean like an for a week silent retailers arriving with the globe. In all around the entire globe, all the cultures. Why they sort of, this is why the reputation of tended to get a CIA for being the Pope, you know, yes and no. Yeah, they didn't, I mean, assassinating people, they weren't assassinated, they, and stuff like that. They've got a, spiritually, they've got a pretty good record, but pretty clean record. Aware of political, were they aware of infighting and what was going on of intrigue, who did it, went on to who, and oh, and where, oh, and yeah, everything. And they told the Pope, well, so for a while, has got the Pope service, best intelligence, He knows the planet going on everywhere, more about what's going on anybody else does. Where than any. But again, this problems this leads to problems. I believe I have to. Oh, before we then you see this, to show you this one thing. Tombstone says Dom, and then it for God. Friar Peter lists a number of other and Jesuit people important. Just located in this is the sacred, the forbidden city cemetery of the in Beijing. They don't know quite with it what to do. Dig it up, because they can't. It's sacred. Show it to Europeans. They don't know what to do with it. This snuck some photo guts, but there's how old several of these tombstones, Jesuit sacred in the city of the forbidden cemetery and in the city. Interesting, as we it'll be interesting to watch the Olympics up as a result, to see if something pops, you know, result of this going on. Just go, what's going on? God bless them. Well, anyway, guys got out there, and these guys remember something that did it. Now, 100, and this is 100 years, 50 before even accomplish even the amazing things. It really amazing things. Jesuits to accomplish. Well, amazing. I mean amazing. It is a class by Catholic. Get to that. Like, I'm going to say is, it is valued. This just ends up in Protestant Rome and poor old. Say about that. Poor old nation. Dying in third gives him go ahead, doesn't he? Yeah, let me pray. Correction immediately.
Let me pray about that.
Yeah, go ahead. But Paul, I've got gives him the guns in the back. Let me give him a lot of the plebe just says, why don't you guys move? Why don't you do a little office, a couple rooms, move around. Back of the suggestions, pontificate there. Once in a while, we'll see within. You know, we'll hardly wait for the think of some or some of the guys come talk to me. Everyone to China, what's going on? Establish mission. Actually, didn't even happen there. This order because they really were already saved in their teeth to end mission. Talk about the Jesuit. These guys interesting, but let's really took the finish up here. What we have as we talk 15. It's going to be 80. Let's finish basically all the basically Protestant body. This is fallen 1940. Reason the Pope. So, too, any of those huge try it. Let's blows have that might be one. 1540 was saying yes. 5 years until something new. Yeah, Trent is called. See what happens in that. But very important. It's also about between the Council of Catholic Reaction. So it's right in the very of the Reformation time. So 15 from the kind of the Catholic is a portion, and it's about the next the initiating 15 years till his. So 40 Ignatius he spends administrator 1560. Death. This is not being just the very dramatic. The head up being an administrator. Be. And again, this, but in this is not yet there. You know, he had, and in order to a creator, well, did, he had to, in order to get rather dramatic, accomplish what he 16 years, he really aren't that a traverse a pathway. And if the next action that of his life was dramatic, it got quite. Things done. The organization is not just that he founded. Let's see, pretty dramatic. In years, I think they had quite a few interesting Jesuits. Well, 100 years they had administrating 1,000 Jesuits. In 15, so it was obviously had 1,000 CERN. In 100, so number 2, 15,000. Leads the work. He puts so his work on the spiritually going. Is that actually? He also published. There he completed. He polishes up his eyes that work for actual exercise. We want a copy of that. He ends up getting. Let's be having that. And so, matter of fact, if you guys are liking it, all the you can probably Google him and say, oh yeah, and I found several that. As a matter of kind of an eyes would like to at what the spill this online sizes was about sites. Sure that offer a 307 in-depth look spiritual exercise myself. Out I'm possible. If you I think there are 70 of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's accessible. Google this. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, celebrated a Packer. This is a real class. He looks through it. He says, as for us to check out, Protestant as Catholic says this, as in a sick. It is. It thinks it's worthy. It is a Protestant.
Where are those schools?
Oh, golly. I just, you know, in Googling some of the Jesuit sites here today, just for that PowerPoint, I must have seen hundreds. There are high schools, colleges. Some are deeply affabbing with the rule down the entire globe. They sort of all the cultures, their reputation. This is why CIA have tended to get, you know, for being the Pope fitted with the Jesuits, where the Jesuits kind of, they take a look at their curriculum and they say, oh, you guys are great. Yeah, we can send our people to you. So there are different levels of that. But you could graduate a young Catholic man. I'm not aware that they're doing the gals yet. A young Catholic man with the right qualifications could go to any one of probably 1,500, 2,500 high schools in the United States and probably 60 to 80 Jesuit colleges and be in a position where he's ready to enter graduate studies for the priesthood and eventual admission into the Jesuit order. So it's both a priesthood and a monastic order. Now, just like the old orders were. Yes, Jules?
Just by way of information, I grew up in Beaverton and Jesuit high school. That was a big controversy in the 80s when they went co-ed.
Oh, really? In the
80s? Yeah.
Bless their hearts. Gosh.
But it was a huge controversy.
I'll bet. Well, it still is. Yes? I wished I was that close to chasing that down and finding out, why, how'd they come up with that? What does that mean? I think it's, is it IHS? No, I better not even speculate. I'm sorry I didn't. I should have. Tombstones, several of these sacred Jesuit of the forbids in the and cemetery. Interesting as we're in the city, because it'll be interesting. It'll be ups up as a result. Watch the Olympics, you know, to see if something pops going on. Result of this. God bless them. Just go, what's going on? Guys got out there. And, well, anyway, God, remember something. These guys, 100 and that did it. Now, years. This is a hundred before even 50 years, accomplish amazing things. Not even them amazing things. It really, well, Jesuits to a, amazing. It is a class. I mean, a made by Catholic alike. Get to that. I'm going to say is this just ends up, it is value Rome and Protestant. Pray about that. And poor old Ignatius III gives him dying and go ahead, doesn't he? Yeah. Direction immediately.
Yeah, let me pray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me pray about that.
I've got, but Paul comes in the back, gives him the, let me give him a lot of, why don't you guys move? He just says to a little office, and, why don't you move around a couple rooms, suggestions, of the, once in a while we'll see pontificate there. Well, then, you know, hardly wait for this. You know, more some of the guys think of some Zealand to China. Come talk to me, ever established mission. What's going on? Things there. Actually, I didn't even. They read this order before in their teeth. We're already saved. And to talk about the Jesuits' mission, interesting. But let's. These guys finish up here. Really took the bit we have in 15. As we talk, what's it's going to be? Basically, all this. Let's fit Protestant body. Basically, we're fallen. This is the reason the Pope in 42. Any. So try it. Let's. Those huge. Blows have 1540. That might be one. 5 years until he's saying yes. Trent is called.
Anything new? Yeah.
In that,
see what happens.
Important, but between it's also about Catholic reaction. The Council of Trent, the so it's right of the Reformation. Very low. 15th time. Loyola is appointed. The kind of the cat about the next and 18 years till is the initiating. So 40 Ignatius administrator. And he spends 156. This is not death. Very dramatic. Being just the being an administrator. The head be, but in or, and again this set there. This is not and in order to you know he ended up did straighter. Well, he had to rather dramatic order to get 16 years accomplish what he aren't that he really traverse a pathway that and if the next was of his life it got quite dramatic things done. He's not just the organization, let's see, that he founded. 10 years, I think they're pretty dramatic. Jesuits, quite a few interesting. 100 years, they had 1,000 Jesuits administrating. So it was obviously, in 15, CERN had 1,000. So, number two, in 100, it's the work, he 15,000 work on the spirits. So is that actually a going published? He also circulated people there. He completes that work for, polishes up his, we want a copy of that. Actual exercise, let's be having that. He ends up getting, matter of fact, if you got, and so you can probably Google or like, and all the, and I found several of them say, oh yeah, that. Kind of an, that. As much at what the spies would like to utilize was about, pull this online, sure, several sites, or 307 that offer in-depth look myself, spiritual exercise. If you out, I'm, I think there are, 70 of them.
There is,
oh, I'm getting ahead of my, but it's accessible. Google this. Okay. you know, as celebrated a yeah, Packer. This is a real class. He looks through it. He for us to check out. As Catholic, Protestant, as in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I'll see you later.